Good morning. So it's our 1 month anniversary, all right? And if we were junior hires, we'd be married right now. I mean, that's how exciting that is, right? So no, I'm glad to be here. I cannot express that how glad I am, and just singing that song with you, that last song there. Again, it's just one of those moments where you just hear a song, and I don't know if you guys heard it. I could hear it from there. It's like the main part of the song everybody's singing, but when you guys hit that chorus, that was something special. Good morning. Now, I want to throw a couple things out your way real quick here. For those who are not aware, this past week here, a young man, a man lost his home to a fire, and so we're asking the question, what's our response? And so we don't know the needs at this point, but let's face it, if your house burns down, there's a need. And so what we're asking you to consider is to be prepared for a special offering next week, and we'll see what we can do in between here and there. And if you happen to know this gentleman, please find out what the needs are, so that we can find a way to meet those needs and in Christ's love that way. And so we'll be doing that next week. Also, looking ahead, October 31st, as I announced last week, we'll be doing a baptism, and so if you're interested in being baptized, please. I'd love to talk with you or grab one of the shepherds and talk with them. I had a wonderful conversation this last Wednesday with a young man of 7 years old, right? And just some extreme wisdom. I asked him, why do you want to be baptized? I'm not going to tell you the answer because he's going to share that with you on the 31st, but I'll tell you, his answer blows away a lot of people's answers when I ask that question. And so I'm excited about October 31st. I hope you're excited about October 31st in that we'll be having a baptism here. We'll be celebrating God's resurrection on that day and what that means as the picture of a baptism. So keeping moving here. Last week, I got a lot of really good feedback. I want to just give you real quick, no, I'm not taking anything off this week. So if you were looking forward to that, sorry, it's not happening. But I got a lot of good feedback. However, there was a little scuttle about my shoes. There are some people who had some mixed feelings about my shoes. And some people thought I was promoting perhaps the Beavers. And I just want to say these are not Beaver shoes, just to let you know that, okay? So the Duck fans aren't laughing because they can't read. But no, these are not Beaver shoes. No, these are Sile Lager shoes is what these are. I just want to say that, for every home game I've gone and worn these shoes, they have won, and I do not believe in coincidence. So I'm just throwing that out there. You do with it what you want. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you so much for this morning, Lord. Father, I thank you that you do reign, and that, Lord, I pray that you would reign here in this service right now, that, Lord, these would be your words, not mine, and that, Father, Father, you are so amazing, and I just thank you so much for who you are, Lord, what it is that you're doing, and that, Father, that you would do it with us. And I just pray, Lord, now that this service would be your service. Let's pray that in your son's name. Amen. So we've been talking about hope, and we've been asking the questions of where does this hope come from? And, of course, we know the answer to this is that hope comes from the Lord. Hope comes from above. But maybe another question we could start asking here as far as hope goes is, well, where do we get this hope? Where do I start to find this hope? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, because I believe that hope begins in prayer. And so we're going to be talking about prayer this morning. We're going to be talking about it very, very simply. I'm going to put it in very... I feel that this morning's message, as much as I know the Lord has everything here for me to share, is inadequate, because I don't believe that one Sunday morning, I'm not sure a year's worth of Sunday mornings, I'm not sure an eternity of Sunday mornings could ever demonstrate exactly what prayer is and how huge and how powerful it is. So we're going to be taking a very, very small look at it this morning. And so the title to my message is You Are Not Alone. And this is what I want you to walk away this morning with, is understanding this, that no matter where you are this morning, no matter what has happened this week, whatever it has been in your life, that you are not alone. that it's not to say, oh, well, at minimum, you can talk to God. No, that's not minimum. That's the maximum. And that's what I want you to see this morning when it comes to prayer, when it comes to talking with God, when it comes to you personally, no matter what it is you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. You're not alone. So simply put, when we talk about prayer, prayer is talking with God. That's it. It's talking with God. Notice I didn't say it's not talking to God, and it's not talking at God. It's with God. It's a conversation. It's two ways. Sometimes in a conversation, you're the one who does all the talking. Every now and then in a conversation, we just need to simply be quiet and listen. And that's part of prayer as well. And it's interesting that when it comes to the church, aside from fears of perhaps public speaking, if I was to come up to any one random person and say, hey, why don't you do the service next week? There probably, in most cases, would be a look of fear on their faces. Like, me? No. Besides that fear, I think the next greatest fear in the church is praying out loud in church, publicly praying. I mean, we have opportunities, and we'll talk about that more later, but opportunities in the past and will have in the future of giving people opportunity to pray. Pray for your needs, pray for your neighbor, pray for whatever it is that God has on your heart. And you know, we get in those moments and it just goes silent. There's crickets, you know, and it's because we're afraid. We're afraid that there's something out there. And I guess my question this morning is, why are we so afraid to pray together? I mean, I can understand the public speaking. Some people just, they're not down with that. But why is praying out loud so hard? I would think it would actually be the easiest thing. I mean, after all, your eyes are closed. Nobody's looking at you, you know. And if they don't really know your voice, nobody knows it's you anyway. So you would think it would be kind of the easy thing, but it's not. Now, last week, I showed a video of what not to do in church. And many of you found that rather useful. I can see many of you have chosen to follow many of the things that you're not to do in church. Kudos to you. And I don't see any snakes in here, so it's good. Or ferrets. But for those who are here, you get that. If you weren't here, you missed. But anyhow, so I thought, you know, if what not to do in church was a good thing, then maybe what we need is we need some help on prayer. So I have a video for that too.
When it comes time to pray, we've discovered that many Christians panic over the very thought of being called on. We often take drastic measures to ensure we're not the ones being asked to lead in prayer. That's why we've created a 2-disc DVD set, Prayer Master. Now, you can throw your prayer concerns as far away as east from west. With Prayer Master, we cover it all. Is your prayer full of ums?
And,
Prayer Master solution, simply substitute with Father.
Just been beautiful weather, Father, and Father, we lift up these prayer requests to you, Father. We
know now, that's supplication. Life, not only will Prayer Master make you sound holier, it'll make you look holier, simply by mastering some praying stances. Learn from our black belt in Prayer Master, Master Reverend Thurgood. Once you've mastered the pros and the pose, you'll also learn how to become a better prayer listener. Prayer Master will teach you how to place those affirming grunts at the appropriate times. Mm-hmm. Not since the WWJD bracelet has any product made it so easy to make a holy first impression. With Prayer Master, we'll have you prepared to look good praying in any situation.
In this desolate hour, you know the sorrow that has befallen us. Lord, you giveth and you taketh away. We find solace in knowing that death has already been conquered by our Lord Almighty. Amen and amen.
So what if you weren't born with the spiritual gift of prayer? Now it can be yours for just 3 easy payments of $29.99. Buy Prayer Master right now. Not only will you receive the DVD set, but we'll also throw in a cassette tape featuring prayers narrated by Charlton Heston's second cousin. Now, next time someone asks,
who wants to pray?
You can say,
I do.
Okay, so understand here that there's no right way, wrong way to pray, right? And in the video, they make reference to the spiritual gift of prayer. There's no spiritual gift of prayer. There are people who are, shall we just say, that when they pray, people listen, right? They pray, and there's just something about it. And I don't believe that's any special spiritual gifting. It's because of the conviction in their heart. It's because of what's going on in their heart and their life with Jesus, and we'll see that this morning. But the reality is that, well, if we're going to be serious for a moment, prayer can be scary, right? I mean, when you're praying as a group, it can be scary, especially in public. I mean, there's a lot of different fears. We're convinced we might say the wrong thing, or maybe even say something stupid that just doesn't make sense, you know, or maybe we'll say something that doesn't really sound spiritual. Or what about that awkward pause? Have you ever been in there, it's group prayer, and all of a sudden it goes silent, you're like, okay, I'm going to pray, but wait a minute, what if I pray and somebody else starts to pray and we interrupt each other, and it's like we bunked heads or something, I was like, I don't want to, I'll just wait, and then the guy closes and it's already too late. Or maybe you're just kind of at a point where you're, I'm not even sure what to say. And I want you to understand that even in that, you're not alone. There's a lot of people who have a lot of fear, and you know what? Get over it. Open your mouth. And give what it is that's inside you to God. It's time. Now it's interesting that the disciples, they also had a similar problem when it came to praying. And so we see in this account in Matthew and Luke, we see this what we call the Lord's Prayer, right? And Luke opens up that moment with the disciples coming to Jesus saying, Lord, teach us to pray. How cool is that? That they, first off, had Jesus to teach them to pray. But even more so, that they were willing to do that. I mean, I think we all need to do. I don't know how comfortable you are with prayer or how scared you are of prayer. I think we all need to come to prayer that way. In a way that we ask the Lord, Lord, how do I pray? Teach me to pray. Because I think the reality is that there are some people, unfortunately, who when they pray, it's about them being heard than it really is whose the prayer is directed to, right? In fact, Jesus even addresses that very issue. But what if we were to humble ourselves and simply ask the Lord, Lord, how is it I should pray? Because you know what? He will teach you. His Spirit will teach you how to pray. But we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6 here, and this is during the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus first addresses the issue that there are people who pray for the wrong reasons. So starting in verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." You know, and this is what would happen. There would be a lot of the religious leaders out there, and they'd pray out in public, and they're not really praying. They're just puffing up their chests. They're just, in some cases, they're using the opportunity to preach, really. And Jesus is saying, no, that's not what prayer is about. Okay? And so he wants to break down prayer. He's going to make it as simple as possible. And this is where we get the Lord's Prayer. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So this morning we will be going through these different elements of this prayer. But Jesus says, this is your prayer. This should be your prayer. And he continues. It says, "And if you've forgiven men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And so what we have here is Jesus breaking down prayer as simple as it can be. And he's letting you understand some pretty basic elements here. Prayer is between you and God. That's what prayer is designed for. It's between you and God. We don't pray for the sake of others, you know, for them to hear. And we don't, when we pray in a group, we shouldn't be praying to somebody else, right? Or taking even the opportunity to preach. I remember being in a service one time where a pastor, he preached a great message. It was a good message. And then he proceeded to close in prayer. And the prayer was as long as the message because he repeated the entire message in his prayer. And I'm thinking, I'm confused here. I mean, you did a really good job the first time. Why are you praying to, you know, this message all over again as if maybe perhaps I forgot? Well, we don't need to do that. And we need to be careful because we do. We get in a group and we pray, oh, Lord, please help those sinners, the ones sitting straight across from me. And Lord, please, you know, and we kind of throw those little things in there. You know, we don't need to be preaching at each other during our prayer. Our prayer is between us and God. It should be noted, though, that there's something incredible that happens during group prayer. That our prayers, they just might encourage somebody there. Have you ever been in that situation where somebody else is praying and they're praying to God and they're praying out their heart and it's encouraging you? That's an incredible moment when that happens. That's a moment where suddenly you start to see that there is a unity amongst those who are praying. It's in those moments where you hear somebody going through maybe a struggle and you go, you know what? I'm going through that struggle. And you realize at the moment you're not alone. But this example here in Matthew, of course, you know, Jesus is kind of addressing private prayer. He talks about going into a room and closing the door. But really when it comes down to prayer, this really applies to all our prayers, all our times. And yet what's interesting is that people also take the Lord's Prayer here and they kind of take it out of context. Or out of use, I should say. I know people who believe that this is the only prayer we should pray. That there is no personal prayer. It's just this, you know. And perhaps you've been in a church where this is the prayer. I've been in a church. I visited a church where the only prayer that happened, the whole entire service was this prayer. You know, and that's not what Jesus is saying. He doesn't say up there, this then is how you should only pray. He's giving an example. He's letting you know, here's an outline. Here's a couple of things that we could follow. See, when it comes down to prayer, we need to understand prayer is one of two things, okay? It can either be ritual, such as reciting this prayer over and over and over, saying a specific prayer every mealtime, or whatever the scenario might be, or it can be relational. So prayer can either be ritual or relational. And I believe that Jesus, in this teaching of this prayer, he is inviting us to be relational, to come closer to God. In fact, look how he opens it up. He says, our Father in heaven. He doesn't say, oh, big God in heaven. Oh, mighty smiter of smiters in heaven. He doesn't, you know, oh, God who is so, so far away, perhaps maybe someday you might hear my prayer as it travels through space and time. No, he's our Father. Father. This is how Jesus prays. Every time we see Jesus pray, he prays to the Father. We even see that moment on the cross when he cries out, Abba, Father. There's something personal here. And he's saying that personal, that relationship between us and our heavenly Father. And we're gonna explore that as we go on. But we need to understand that it's not some God so far away that maybe he might hear us sometime. And at the same time, we need to make sure we don't go the opposite side and be too familiar in our prayers. You know, it's not, hey, big man upstairs, what's up? That's not prayer either. Right, we address Father. There's something reverent about that. So I think before we go any further, maybe what we need to really understand is not so much how to pray, but what is happening when we pray. What is actually taking place at that very moment? Because I do think that when it comes to prayer, some people kind of go haphazard about it. They don't take it quite as serious. And if you really think about what's happening, prayer can be something incredible. We have to understand that when we enter in a time of prayer, what we're doing is we're entering into the throne room of God. Okay, just, you know, that picture that we have in Isaiah 6, and Isaiah's there, and there's God, and all his glory fills the temple. We're in this throne room when we come before him. How amazing would that be if you're really thinking about it? I mean, if when we come into prayer, the feelings we should have in prayer are feelings of awe, reverence, maybe even fear. There's something big happening here. Francis Chan talks about this in his book, Crazy Love. And he brings up he recounts a time when his prayer life had changed. He was a young man, and what he did was he kept seeing pastors, and he would see, you know, camp speakers, and he thought they must pray differently. There must be something different in their lives because of who they are and where they're at. And he wanted to figure out what is it that they're doing differently, because there's something different about them, and it's a good different. And he sees that, and he says, I wonder what they think about when it comes to God. How do they treat him? And so what he decided to do is that as he was about to spend some time in prayer, he decided that he was going to take some time before opening his mouth, before actually praying anything, he was just going to take some time to think about God, to imagine this throne room. You know, kind of go in the direction of the way John describes it in Revelation. So you got lightning and thunder and there's rubies and there's emeralds and there's just this intense light going on, and this God right in the middle of it all. And then he imagined himself coming before that very throne. And he realizes, if I'm entering this throne room, if this is the God I am talking to, I would come and I would be honored to be in his presence. And then he asks in his book the question, what would be your first words? If that was you, you have just entered into that throne room, what would be your first words? I'm not sure I could get any words out at that moment. And that could be a good thing too. I mean, I think we're all guilty when it comes to prayer of barging into the throne room rather than entering into the throne room. We barge in with our list of demands. God, you need to do this and this and this, and if you don't, I'm out of here. As if he has to suddenly answer to our beck and call that way. That's not what's happening there in the throne room. Again, how does Jesus begin? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed. Another way of saying, holy. This is something bigger than me. And so when we come, we need to understand that. We need to set aside ourselves when we go into prayer, not take ourselves into prayer. He goes on, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your kingdom, not mine. Okay? It's not what I want. It's what you want. Your will be done, not mine. We're setting ourselves aside. Remember, just before, he already knows what we need, right? So your kingdom, your will, let God be God. Let him do it, not us. Let's not tell him what we need. In fact, the very next one there, give us today our daily bread. We're not asking, give us, give us, give us. And it's not a big list of, it's just give us our daily bread. Give us what it's going to take for us today. We're not worrying about tomorrow. We're not worrying about next year. It's today. I mean, the scriptures say it very clearly. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own, doesn't it? Today, what is it that you would have for me today, Lord? Not what is due us, but what he wants to do. It's his portioning. That can be hard. Now, this daily bread thing, this is a picture of the manna, right? We have the children of God, and they're out in the wilderness, and God provides them with food, with manna. And he says, you gather enough for today and today alone. And if they gathered more than enough for today, it would spoil. Maggots. It'd turn disgusting. So just enough for today. The only exception was for Sabbath. But other than that, you gather what you need today. What does it look like when we ask God to tend our daily needs rather than our daily wants? And again, I say daily needs, just today, what we need today. I think a lot of times when people pray, most of the prayers happen at night. You know, I suppose you can pray for tomorrow. Why not start the day? Lord, today, give me what it is today that you have for me today. Now, so often, I do think that when it comes to prayer, more times than not, we go to prayer in crisis, don't we? We kind of forget about God when things are going good. But when suddenly, you know, we don't think about the daily needs. But when all of a sudden, everything just hits you at once, we go to him in crisis. I mean, let's face it, even an atheist cries out to God when the plane is going down. And so we go to him in those bad times, but not always the good times. But this daily bread, it implies that we go to him daily. And I guess another question I have for you this morning is, what if we don't? What are we missing out on each day that we don't ask God for our daily bread? How many things are lost? What we're really asking, what are we really asking when we pray for our daily bread? And I think Proverbs gives us an answer here. It's Proverbs 30. It says, "Two things I ask you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." Just out of curiosity, have you ever prayed scripture? Not your own words, just pray God's word. There's some power in that. There is. There's something beautiful about praying God's word. What if this became our prayer? What would life start to look like? No, don't give me too much. Have you ever thought about that? God, please don't give me too much. Because if I have too much, I won't rely on you anymore. But Lord, don't give me too little that I'm just in need and I may turn to a wrong direction. What if Proverbs 30 here, what if these verses became our prayer? I think this is what asking God for our daily bread, this is what we're asking. And so we come back to the Lord's Prayer here, and he goes on and he says, "Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." And to forgive, in order for God to forgive, we must do something. We got to confess. I don't like that. I don't want to have to spill out all my... Understand this, if God knows what we need, he also knows what we've done. You're not hiding anything. I think of Adam and Eve, and after they have taken from the tree, they're hiding in a bush. And God's walking through the garden. "Adam, where are you?" God knows where Adam is. It's like a game of hide and seek with a little kid and their feet are sticking out from the curtains, right? You know where they are. God doesn't, he's not caught by, you're not going to give him, "Oh Lord, I sinned here doing this." He's not, "What? You, what? No, really? No." That's not God. God goes, "I know. And guess what? I still love you. Thank you for telling me." I mean, when our kids, if you're a parent, a kid comes and tells you what they've done wrong, I mean, there might be some discipline involved. But isn't that better than to find out some other way? Isn't it better for the kid without finding some other way? But forgive us of our debts. We need to confess. And this goes both ways. Not only are we forgiven, but we are to forgive. And after verse 13, he reminds the listener again about what that means to forgive others. But you'll notice it says, "Forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." It doesn't say, "Forgive us our debts as we someday maybe might forgive that one guy down the street who did that thing to me." It's not I'll get to it. It's all inclusive. I need to be forgiving now, just as God is forgiving now. We're not holding on to anything. Lead us not into temptation. Understand that we need to stay faithful to him, and by staying faithful to him, to his word, his way, it keeps us safe. It keeps us on a path that he is guiding, he is protecting. And we need to stay there. The reality is bad things happen. And when bad things happen, we look for somebody else to blame. And I think in this verse here, it's kind of a weird verse, a weird moment for Jesus to say, "Lead us not into temptation." It kind of implies maybe, does God lead us into temptation? No. No, he doesn't. I think there's two lies out there when things happen. One is, "The devil made me do it," or "It's God's fault." No, that's not what it is here. In fact, last week we talked about being light, right? And what that means. And that when we go into dark places, our light needs to shine. We can't extinguish that light. We shouldn't cover up that light. And just the same way, God's word is we're told that God's word is a light, right? And it lights our path. It's a lamp to our feet. And if you're on a trail at night, the last thing you want is for your flashlight or for your lantern to go out. Because when it does, you're going to be off that trail pretty quick. It's not that God leads us into temptation. It's that when we stop following him, we get lost. We need to keep following him. God does not lead us into temptation. There are moments where there is testing and there are trials and there are tribulations. And these things usually produce some sort of strength within us from him. It's in those moments that we rely on, but we need to get outside of this idea that God is some sick and twisted old man with a magnifying glass stuck between the sun and you, and he's just trying to make your life as miserable as possible just to see how obedient you might be. No, God is he's a father, and this father loves you, and we need to recognize that. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But I need you to know right now that God loves you more than that. In fact, we see it right after this temptation. But deliver us from the evil one. A disclaimer for you. If you've chosen to follow Jesus, you need to know something. If somebody never told you this, you need to know it now. The moment you decide to follow Jesus, you have a big target on your back. The enemy's got you in his sights. Before, you weren't a threat. Now you're a threat because you're going to change things. If you're following Jesus, people are going to see it. They're going to want to know what that is. You're a threat. We need to understand that. And so what the devil will like to do is he wants to get us as far away from God as possible. The further he can get you away from God, the better. It's the wolf and the lamb. You know, sheep gather together. That's a good thing. They're pretty safe. The wolf looks for the one that's kind of strayed, the one that's not paying attention while everybody else is going this way. Or if he can't do that, then he'll do whatever he can to try to isolate the sheep and take care of the sheep that way. This is what the enemy is doing. And if you're not spending time in prayer, if you're not spending time in his word, you're just getting further and further away from the herd. There's no safety out there. We need to be delivered from the evil one. And by the way, you know, as Christians, there are certain powers and authorities, if you will, that we inherit. But I want you to understand that the devil does not have to listen to you just because you say so. He listens to you because the power of God is in you. That he listens to you because you are a child of God. But if you're straying away from that, the devil just gets the laugh. We can't just say, run away from me, devil, because I don't like you. It's in his name. It's in God's name. It's in the blood of Christ. One of my favorite stories that kind of demonstrates this is the sons of Sceva. You guys know this story. There's a group of guys. They're sons of a priest, and they're a big group. They decide they're going to go take on one demon-possessed man. I mean, he's just one guy. And they go up to confront this demon-possessed guy, and the demon-possessed guy looks at him and says, "Who are you? I know some of Jesus' followers. I know Jesus. Who are you?" And what ensues there is that the demon-possessed man then takes on this group of guys, beats them to a bloody pulp. They're running through town naked and embarrassed. All because they thought they could do it on their own power. See, we're like the little kid on the playground who maybe you pick that fight, my dad can beat up your dad kind of moment, and you got your fist up and you're going after the bully because you're going to stand up. You're the David to the Goliath kind of situation there. And all of a sudden, there's a look of fear in the bully and he's backing away and you're getting all confident. What you don't understand is that your dad, your 6'8" dad, you know, your 800-pound gorilla of a dad is standing behind you. They're not afraid of you. They're afraid of the power that's backing you up. And for what it's worth, God doesn't need to be behind us. He really needs to be before us, doesn't he? And that's what prayer is. It's putting God before us. the Lord's Prayer, when we look at this, what the Lord's Prayer is, it's the beginning of what prayer starts to look like. Now, I've often taught this, and when you're trying to figure out how to pray, you know, and some people are like, I'm not even sure how to pray. And so this is why I used to teach in the youth group all the time. It's you just pray in acts, okay? And so the first one, adoration, okay? And this is the order, okay? Pray in adoration. Have you ever just spent some time, maybe don't even pray anything else, just adore God. Just love God and spend some time. We always go with our needs, don't we? What about going with praise and just praise? And we see David do it all the time. Just adore God. He is huge. He is mighty. There are more words than we can ever use. We cannot exhaust any vocabulary in describing our God. That's how big. Adore God. Confession. Talked about it already. Lay it down before God. Give it to God. What's holding you back? What sin is in your life? We all have sin. I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't have something that they might need to confess. And if you don't, you will before you leave. Okay? It's just that's the way we are. Confess. What about thanksgiving? Be thankful for what God has done, what God is doing, what God will do. Giving thanks to him. The last one, supplication. It just means to supply. Asking God to supply your needs. We need to be careful that we don't ever turn prayer into a formula. Okay, because the Lord's Prayer has done that, and this could become that same way. I'm not saying that this is the only way to pray. That would become ritual. But what we do need is we need to become disciplined in our prayer. We need to get some sort of... I hate to use this word, regiment. We need to do something where we are forcing ourselves to the point where it becomes habit. It becomes something that we can't go through the day. I mean, how many of you drink coffee? How many of you don't actually start your day until you drink coffee? Okay? Why is it that we can't do that with God? I can't start my day without God. God before coffee. Is that possible? I think so. I say it's possible because I don't drink coffee. So my wife would say, okay, Mike, what about God before Red Bull? Yeah, we got to do that too. But now you'll notice on this list, though, supplication, that comes last. So often it's the first thing. And so something I want you to understand this morning is that God does desire to give. Okay, please do understand that. He wants to give. We have this story in Luke. In fact, this is part of Luke's account of the prayer. And he goes on, he says, then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because, you know, everybody goes to your neighbor's house for bread at midnight. But lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed . I can't get up and give you anything. And Jesus concludes, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of this man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And we need to understand that this is what God does. There is something about being persistent. In fact, the continuing verses here, and we'll look at in Matthew, is that you ask and you receive. You knock and the door will open. A pastor that I know of that I respect very much, and I'll talk about him in a second as well, but he always says it this way, much prayer, much blessing. You know, and we need to spend this time in prayer. We need to be persistent. It's a story of Mr. Stewart goes to heaven. Maybe you've heard this story or a variation of. Mr. Stewart, he dies and he goes to heaven, and Peter says, let me show you around. And he's like, all right, I want to see everything. And they're showing everything, and Mr. Stewart sees a warehouse over here. He's like, well, what's in the warehouse? I want to see the warehouse. And Peter's like, no, you don't want to bother with that. No, I want to see everything. So they go to the warehouse, and there's filing cabinets as far as the eye can see. And Mr. Stewart, what is going on here? And Peter's like, you don't want to worry about this. And then Mr. Stewart sees, wait a minute, this one has my name on it. And he opens up the drawer and he's looking, he's all these things. He says, wait a minute, these are things that were supposed to be for me. How come I never got this? Or how come this never happened? I remember this struggle I had in my life. Why didn't this come? And Peter just looks at him and says, these are all unanswered prayers because you never prayed for them. God wants to give. Sometimes we don't ask. God wants us to be persistent. And there's a difference between being persistent and nagging. Okay? And I believe that difference is found in patience. Persistence is a friend of patience, whereas nagging is the enemy of patience. It kills patience, really. Persistence is waiting on God to do what he's going to do. It's being persistent. Persistence is the prayer of the wife who prays for her husband that he might come to know the Lord. And she will pray, and she will pray, and she will pray, waiting for God to give that answer. Maybe you've heard this, that when it comes to prayer, God answers prayer in one of three ways. Yes, right? And that's it's an affirmative. You pray, you've seen the fruit. You've seen the proof, okay? Or there are times when he says, no, you're praying for a certain direction, and every door gets shut along the way. Can I share here at SIO? Over a year ago now, at Men's Roundup. I went to Men's Roundup a year ago just for the day to talk with Mark Hafner, president of CB Northwest, our association. And Mark's telling me of all the different possibilities that might be out there for me. And he says, of course, I just got word that, you know, SIO Baptist is going to be going, you know, there's a possibility there. And I'm like, tell me more about that one. I don't know why, just tell me more about that one. And he says, oh, yeah, well, they're probably a little ways off. And I got persistent about that one. I don't know what it was that the Lord was doing in my heart at that moment. But you know what I did? And some of you know this. Not that it's a big drive, but I drove from Tadmore to here. And so if you happen to be by here at about 5 o'clock on Saturday last year at Men's Roundup, you would have seen me in my car in this parking lot. And I started praying. Said, Lord, if this is where you would have me and my family, I will be here. Understand, there were a couple other opportunities, a couple other churches, and I never felt like I needed to pray about those ones. I don't know what it was. It's just all of a sudden I drove here and I got here and I said, okay, Lord, here. If this is where you will have me, I will come. God answers prayer. And I honestly think that I wouldn't be here if I didn't pray that prayer. If there were other people here who weren't praying that prayer, and there are people all around this community who have been praying for this church. It's all part of the deal. God answers prayer. He answers it yes, he answers it no, and sometimes he answers it wait. And for me, with Sile, I wanted, like, okay, I know about them, this is a year ago, September, and I'm like, you know, okay, Lord, just send me, and like, nothing. I'm like, you know, a week goes by, oh, they must not be interested. I'm like, come on, and I just kept praying, though. Just kept praying. You know, and it actually got to the point where March of this year, went to the CB meetings, and I went out to a couple of the guys there, and I said, what's going on with SIO? Because I haven't heard anything, you know, and I'm like, please tell me something, you know, something. We don't know. And I'm like, oh, come on. You know, I was nagging, not persistent at that moment. I went home, and you know what happened that week? I got a call from Tom Barth. Mike, we'd like to set up an interview with you. Okay, God answers prayer. And I want you to know that this morning. There's something about being persistent. There's a blessing that comes with it. And when we pray, we need to understand that we're not praying to change God's mind. In fact, one of our shepherds here at the church, he reminded me of this just this week. That we don't pray to change God's mind, but rather it's our hearts that change. And this happens a lot. It happens a lot when it comes to persistent prayer. Now, the pastor, the Much Prayer, Much Blessing, I had lunch with him along with some other pastors, D. Duke over at Jefferson. Perhaps you know him. And if there's ever been a man of prayer, if that's a title that you can be given, D is the man of prayer. And he is in love with prayer. And he reminded me, along with the other pastors, of a few things. And I thought I'd share those with you. I thought the timing was just too good. Often when we pray for our comfort, not for his glory. And it's true in our lives, and we need to be careful there. We think we're praying the right thing, but really what we're doing is we're praying for our comfort. You think about somebody who has a terminal disease, for instance, you know, and it's looking like they're going to die. But we pray for healing, usually, right? Because it sounds like the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. But God has our days numbered. It really doesn't matter in our prayer if we pray for healing, if God's days have been, you know, given to this guy. He has so long to live. What we need to be praying for is we need to be praying for God's glory. in this event, and that God's glory would be seen through this event. That can be hard to do. It can be hard to kind of change our prayer because away from our comfort into his glory. Philippians 4 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, persistence, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He also reminded us of this, that there are 5 prayers that you can pray that will always be answered. Always be answered in the positive. Okay, first one here is strength. I'm just going to go through this really fast. You pray for God to give you strength, he will give you strength. He will give you abundance, wings of eagles. Joy, he wants your cup to overflow. He wants to give you joy. Wisdom that surpasses all understanding. Peace. You need peace? You really believe God can give it to you? Yeah, he can. He's the author of peace. Opportunity to serve him. You ask God to use you, God will use you. He may end up using you in a way that you never thought he'd use you. He will use you. And I want you to know that this morning, that we serve an immense God, right? Thank you. We serve an immense God who is able, who is capable, and is willing. We're talking about the Creator, the one who hung the stars in the sky, right? He holds the expanse of the universe in the palm of his hand. We are his children, and he desires to give us the best. But yet there are moments where we treat him like a vending machine. We'll just punch in what we want and see, make sure we get in. If we don't see the item we want, we get upset. Have you ever yelled at a vending machine because it was empty? Or maybe it's a slot machine. We just throw something in, we'll throw a prayer out there and see what happens, what comes up. Or worse yet, an ATM. Sure, we make a deposit every now and then, but it's mostly withdrawals. Again, I would refer back to Francis Chan, and we come into that throne. And what would our first words be? Would our first words really be, gimme, gimme? Or there might be something a little bit different going on there. Now, something interesting when it comes to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about prayer, and then he goes on and he talks about some other subjects. He talks about fasting, which usually goes hand in hand with prayer. He talks about storing your treasures in heaven, not on earth, not to worry about things, and then also not to be judgmental, not judging one another. And the question is, how can we even accomplish any of these things? Well, we got to go to prayer on those ones because we're not capable of doing that. But then he comes back to this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, who seeks finds, and to him who knocks and the door will be open. And he goes on talking about if a son asks for bread, will a father give him a stone? Now, yesterday was Mickey's birthday, my son. All months leading up to his birthday, I buy him gift after gift after gift. And there are moments where Wendy's like, we think we got enough. And I'm like, I just want to keep giving. I know it's not good to spoil your kid, but at the same time, I want to. I want to give him everything that he wants, everything that he needs. And God has this for us. He knows, though, what is good for us. He knows the difference between spoiling and blessing. And he wants to do that. And I want you to understand that... That's what he wants to do. He wants to bless you. And I think what happens, though, and I know we're running out of time here, and there's just so much. I just want you to know that God loves you so much, and there's just something about praying. There's something about prayer as a group, and I know that there are some of you that you're afraid to pray in a group, and don't be afraid to pray in a group because there is something special that God does during that time. Have you ever prayed with somebody who prays with boldness or conviction or even excitement? It's infectious. I usually don't associate those words with prayers. Or if I say prayer meeting, people already start to fall asleep before it happens, right? I mean, that's kind of what people get this wrong idea of what prayer is, that prayer somehow is boring. And just to switch gears for a second, it shouldn't be this way. We shouldn't be thinking, if I go to that prayer meeting, I'm just going to fall asleep. There is something exciting about prayer. Any church that I've been to that they pray the Lord's Prayer over and over, it's boring. Something's missing there. And I'm not saying we need to get all crazy with our prayers and be entertaining with our prayers. It's not. Sometimes it's the simplest prayers that are the most powerful ones. Remember, the prayer is not about us, it's about him. There's just something about praying with people that are excited to pray. I think of the disciples, and as they, in Acts 4, verse 31, it talks about they finished praying and the place shook. I want to be in that prayer meeting when it's all said and done, the place shakes. And I believe that is possible. I have the privilege of praying with our shepherds here at least once a week. And I will tell you, it is the most precious time of my week. I will not let anybody ever take that time away from me because there is something special about praying with these men. And if you haven't taken the opportunity to pray with them, you need to. There have been a few times, I haven't shared this with the guys, but there have been a few times where their prayers have broken me. It should be in those moments. There's been moments I've been encouraged. There's been joy. There's been reverence. Let's not pick on prayer meetings, right? But let's come to prayer meetings knowing who we're praying to. Let's have prayer events, if you will. Whatever it takes, coming together and praying. When you have the opportunity to pray, take that opportunity. Don't let it go by. Guy at the beginning of the service, he's there. And if he says, okay, we're going to give you guys an opportunity to pray, rush to it. Run to it. Enjoy what God is giving us through that time. Because I want you to know that when you pray, you're not alone. Not only is there us, but God is there. God is with you when you pray. He prays with us. He's not just some distant God. And I want you to know that. And real quick here, he doesn't check your vocabulary. He doesn't check your grammar. He just wants to hear your heart. I have one more video that I think demonstrates prayer in a bold way. And as that's happening, we're going to have communion, and if the guys could come forward while the video is playing.
Pray to the Lord. Pray to him while he can be found, for he is near us whenever we pray. His eyes open, his ears attentive, listening to what is said in hearts and whispers, when tears fall down cheeks, in silence, when no words can be said but thank you, according to his compassion, according to his kindness and his great love, he is our dwelling place. So cry aloud, call on him, bowed on bended knees, confess sins, offer petitions, watch and pray. Find your own mountainside, your own Garden of Gethsemane. Pray in lonely places when things are good and not so good. Pray for those who are unable to pray for themselves. Stand guard, mind your post, stand on the wall in the gap as words lifted to God build bridges to nations. Prayers are seeds planted, even if you never get to see them grow. God is the gardener, paying close attention to the soil of prayers lifted for generations yet to be born. In the place of prayer is where peace can be found. And we may not know how or why, but we know who. And when you are spent of words to pray, he prays for you, taking all the things you can't give voice to, surrendering them at the feet of one who is all powerful, whose words extend past time, whose love is so wide and deep that it is immeasurable. Pray and don't give up. Pray earnestly. Raise your voice and quiet your soul that God may dwell in your heart. Pray when you're anxious. Pray when you're afraid. Be watchful and thankful. Pray continually. Pray to the Father, to a God who is faithful, to a God who hears. Cry out for the living God.
As we come to the communion table this morning, I want to invite you, before these elements come to you, I want you to give everything to God this morning. This is a representation of what Jesus has done for us, and we need to honor that, and we need to respect that, and we need to... What is it that's holding you back from a relationship with God today that could be bigger tomorrow? What is it that's holding you back right now? Lay it at his throne. I want you to think about his throne. I want you to enter his throne this morning before this and lay it down there. Leave it there. and then take this. And if it comes to a point where this stuff has to pass you by, let it pass you by. Please, just this is more important. And if you want, after the service, I'll sit here, I'll take communion with you. Our shepherds will take communion with you. But lay it down. Don't hold on to it anymore. Enter his throne room. Give it to him. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time. And Father, I do pray, Lord, if there's anything in my life, Lord, I give it to you, Lord. I'm not perfect. Father, I just ask that right now that you would just be working in the hearts, and that Father, that it would be evident. And then Father, for those who are at a point where they know they need to do something different, that Lord, that they just need to start praying, that Lord, that you would do that right here, right now. Father, we do thank you for these elements. We thank you for what it is that your son did for us, his body, his blood. And we say it all in his name. Amen. Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, and doing this for you." And I think of that moment before going to the cross. And what did Jesus do? He spent his time in prayer. How important is prayer? That the Lord God would do that, knowing full well what he was about to do as he was doing it for us. And now we do this in remembrance of him. Thank you. It says in the same way he took the cup and said, this is the new covenant here. This is my blood that's been shed for you. And again, at that time of prayer, he even asked his father, if there's any other way, would you take this cup? But it's not my will, it's your will be done. Let's take the cup together. I'm gonna close us in prayer, and we're just gonna close there. Okay, no song. And I do want to give you the opportunity though that if you need somebody to pray with today, don't go home and think about it. You know it now. And I want you to know that we have our shepherds are up here. These are men of God that would desire to pray with you. And take that opportunity. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you so much for who you are, Lord. I thank you so much that you are amazing. And that, Father, that you are so immense. And yet, Lord, you stoop down to create me, to create us, to reach to us. That, Lord, that we would pray and you would hear. And I thank you for that. And Father, I do pray for everyone here that today would be the day that today would be the day that you have given them, that today would be the day that they seek you out, and today would be your day. And that, Father, that it's not just today, but it's from this point forward. Thank you again so much for who you are, what you've done, giving us your son. We thank you in his name. Amen.